This upcoming concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop for the best in Western style. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring and summer, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, that's WCB style, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience like it. If you can't make it into a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com. They offer free shipping on all boots, as well as free returns and exchanges, and ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
Another episode of Working Class on Deercast. I'm by myself hosting on this one, but I have my good buddy Jacob Johnson calling in from wherever you're from. What are you doing, man?
Hey, just on lunch at work. But
I love it.
Up here in Northern Iowa, so.
Yeah, so yeah. I like doing these calls when guys are on lunch breaks, and I do want to talk about what you do for a living, but we met at a trade show, for people who don't know, in Nebraska several years ago, and we just kind of hit it off since, and you've kind of just been part of the working class bow hunter family since then.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. It's just before we went to Nebraska, I was just sitting there like the week, like a couple days prior to that, and talking to my wife, and I was like, hey, what are we doing this weekend? She's like, I don't think anything. And I'm like, you want to go to Nebraska? She's like, for what? I'm like, the deer show. She's like, I don't care, that sounds fun. No kidding. So we went and saw you guys there, and I was wearing a working class hat, and one of you guys said, hey, nice hat. I'm like, thanks. I didn't want to be like, no, I just shoot over there. It's like, oh, play it cool, Jake. I'm like, thanks, man, walk on by, and then loop around like
waving as you're walking away.
Thanks, dude. We got like all the other booze to hit first, but we'll be back.
Yeah, I'll see you. I'll come back if you're lucky, that type of thing. We all just hit it off. Like, you vibe well with our crew, and so you've been around a lot, which has been a ton of fun. And I know you're a newer bow hunter, you've been doing it for a few years. But there's something cool that you were a part of that I want to talk about. But since you're at work, let's talk about what you do for a living, since it's working class on Deercast.
So I work at the local municipality here in Osage, and I install internet and phones and troubleshoot internet and phones and do that kind of stuff now. So I was working on wind turbines before, and I just got this job when the contract ran up at my wind site, and I didn't really want to be working in wind anyways. So So back at home, get to spend some more time with the family and everything. So it's working out really cool.
That's awesome, man. I know I was always interested in that other, like working on the wind turbines is cool, but you're also, we've talked about this, you're a veteran. Thank you for your service. And I wanted to bring it up because I knew you weren't going to be a guy to just bring it up. So.
I appreciate the support, man. Like, you guys putting out the, you know, the veteran shout out and stuff, that's pretty cool. So yeah, appreciate the support, and I know the veteran community and everyone that listens really appreciates it as well. So
well, that's good to hear, because I don't feel like it's much, but it's just something that we do with the show, you know. But
yeah, it's something small. A lot of veterans don't like to, like you said, don't like, I don't know, some do, but a lot don't just like to, you know, hey, that's, I did it. I just want to meld back into society here. Mm-hmm. But it's not, you know, it's cool. Just a small little thing. It's nice that you guys do that. So
yeah, it's fun too. Like it's a reason for us to interact with more people also on that end. So
yeah,
that's what we do on the regular WCB series. Going in, you know, I know you're a newer bow hunter, but you're very knowledgeable around firearms. Obviously you have to be, and you were just a part of a show called Hunt Wars. And it just was pretty cool because you're rocking working class bow hunter stuff in the entire show, which is awesome. But Loopold, which is a partner of ours and is like the title partner of that show, I believe. Is a part of that. So just a fun connection there between I mean Drury Outdoors is partnered with Loopold, Working Class Bow Hunter, and Hunt Wars is all partnered with Loopold. So but anyway, explain how that worked. How did you get on that whole series?
So actually I was listening to you guys, and you guys had Troy on one of the episodes. I can't remember what episode it was, but I was listening to the Hunt Wars episode you guys had, and I listened to it, and they were talking about, because they're, I think they just got done with season one or something, and they're talking about the odds and everything. And I was thinking about it and went back home and talked to my wife, and we were talking about it, and like, hey, brought it up, like, heard about this on the Working Class podcast, and it seemed like a pretty cool deal, and the odds seemed a lot better than even buying preference points in a lot of different states. Like, if you wanted to go hunt New Mexico for elk, then you probably have a better chance going through Hunt Wars than you do even through the state lottery. So
yeah,
I was thinking like, hey, you know, that sounds pretty cool, $100, and put my application out there and see what happens. And I was talking to my wife about it, and she's like, yeah, we spent $100 on membership before, so might as well. So we did.
Yeah. Put some stuff and go hunting. Okay.
Yeah. So heard about it from you guys, then threw my name in the hat, and lo and behold, got drawn. Mm-hmm. So worked out.
Yeah, were you pretty surprised about that?
Oh yeah, dude, this is wild.
They did the announcement right, and we're like, yeah, but there could be like 1,000 Jacob Johnsons in there, right? That was like the don't get too excited yet till you know for sure.
Yeah, because we're watching the drawing at home, and I don't know. Yeah, they drew my name, and after they drew it, the whole, my wife and my daughter, they just started freaking out. And I was sitting there like, oh my God, this is crazy.
Yeah.
And then I started thinking about it logically. I'm like, well, there's a lot. My name's pretty common. Jacob Johnson's a pretty common name.
Yeah.
So like, it could be someone else. Don't get your hopes up too high.
Yeah. John Smith. Everyone's looked like,
yeah.
Oh, sick.
Out of a million, there's a lot of you are. So
right. I get it. Yeah. I mean, I probably would have been hesitant too a little bit, you know?
Yeah.
But you just, yep. I mean, but you won. You actually did win.
Yeah. Yeah. Then they reached out on Instagram, and I was like, okay, cool. It is me. Then I started getting really excited.
Mm-hmm.
Started getting, I don't know. Yeah. It was crazy how it all worked out and everything else. Because that's the thing with Hunt Wars, the application. It's like, it's $100, but they don't limit you. Like, if you have 10 grand to drop for, you know, application fees and into the show, then you can buy as many. You can put your name in the hat as many times as you want. There's no limit. And actually, like, just this season, after the second season, they started doing like it's like a loyalty program. So if you apply 1 year, don't get drawn, then that carries over the next year. So it's going to get
like a point
as the year
system.
Yeah, almost like a point system. Yeah, like a Hunt Wars point system. So as the years go on, you know, it's like there could be dudes with, you know, their name in the hat 5-10 times, you know.
That's pretty cool. That's cool they do that.
Yeah, it's pretty neat.
Fun fact, there's maybe been 3 podcasts in the history of all the ones we've done, watch, I'll jinx this podcast, and that's what'll happen, that we've lost. And the last one we recorded with those guys at Club 200 at Ross's, I had an SD card malfunction on our recorder, and it completely lost. And it was I felt really good about the episode too. Yeah. I was pretty upset about it, but they're great people. So that's good. You get drawn, you get to go on this hunt, which is like a competition. Mm-hmm. I guess just break some of it down, because you know, you've been bow hunting for 3 years, you said?
Yeah, been bow hunting for 3 years, going on my fourth year.
How, so basically, have you gun hunted before that?
Yeah. So so I grew up shotgun hunting in Iowa, like a lot of guys do, you know, just going out with the old man and some other guys and push through some woods and see what runs out. So I grew up doing that. I actually shot a pretty nice buck my last year before I joined the service and took off. But yeah, so grew up shotgun hunting in Iowa, joined the Army, and didn't really hunt at all. And honestly, went out in the Army. It sucks looking back on it, but you know, yeah. There, I've been to some cool places. I was stationed in Colorado and El Paso, and there's hunting opportunities in both places. Obviously, Colorado is huge, but yeah, with the scheduling and the Army and everything else going on in the field for a month at a time and deployments and everything else, it's like that just kind of took a back burner. And then I always said, I always said when I got out of the Army, I'd start hunting again. And my buddy Matt Moon, he actually, he's my hunting buddy since we were kids, and he bow hunted. He started bow hunting when I was gone. He's like, dude, when you get back, you need to start bow hunting. And I always said, this is gonna be kind of funny, I guess, now because I'm really into bow hunting. But
yeah,
I always grew up with the notion that bow hunting is for anti-gun hunters.
Okay, yeah, a little strong, yeah, but yeah,
it's kind of one of those things I always like, oh yeah, those are for like the hippie
gun haters,
like the anti the gun hating hunters for that community.
Yeah.
my buddy's like, dude, that's not even true at all. I'm like, okay, whatever. Now I grew up obviously and learned that's not the case, but
yeah
anyways, he talked
kind of enough. A hilarious mindset though, like, yeah. I don't know, I get it, but yeah, it's kind of funny who needs to break it down.
Yeah, it's not even close to being true at all whatsoever, but
and most bow hunters hunt with a gun, they hunt both.
Yeah, just my ignorant ass thinking that, I guess.
I love it though, that's hilarious.
Yeah. But yeah, then got out of the Army, he got me into bow hunting, and yeah, I don't know, then it's just been all downhill from there. It just kind of consumed me after my shot a really small buck my first year, but that just got me going. Way harder than any gun hunt I've ever been on. And I'm just like, this is what I want to do for sure.
Yeah. Oh, I bet. Well, I was just curious, you know, because going into this Hunt Wars thing, because it can be bow or gun, right? Or they always. So, you know, it's for me, I guess if you have bow hunting experience, it can kind of translate over into a rifle. And maybe the other way too, but not as easy. So, I was just trying to lay that out, you know, if like you just started bow hunting, been bow hunting for 3 years and never picked up a rifle and you're going on a rifle hunt or vice versa, you might be like, oh crap, like there's some challenges here. Just going out, there's a challenge, you know?
Yep. So that was one of the things when I was, so after you get, with going back to the Hunt Wars thing, after you get drawn for Hunt Wars, you have a meeting with Troy, and one of the other guys, I can't remember who it was, he didn't talk much, but it was between me and Justin Trees, the guy I went with Troy, and we're talking, and he's like gauging our experience level and stuff, and kind of trying to figure out what hunt to put us on. So you don't get to, that's the thing with Hunt Wars, you don't get to pick. Mm-hmm. You can ask and everything else. You can ask like, oh yeah, I'd like to be on this one, because they do ask like, what your preference is. Mm-hmm. And obviously I was like, man, I want to go. Like number one, archery elk. Number two, rifle mule deer, because they didn't do archery mule deer. Then number three was pronghorn. And after talking with them and everything else, and I'm like, yeah, you know, told them the whole backstory. Listen to them on your guys' podcast and stuff. I'm like, for sure going to get archery elk. They're going to throw me a bone there. Yeah, no, they called back like, hey, you know, we like you. We want you on the show. But you're gonna do rifle antelope. I'm like, I don't have a rifle, dude. I'm not gonna go out there with my slug gun.
Yeah.
You know? So
right.
Then it was just kind of a scramble after that, because the pronghorn hunt was the first hunt.
Oh, so you had to get moving.
Yeah. Yeah. So they told me in, so
what'd you do for a rifle? Did you have to go buy a rifle?
Yeah. Yeah. So they told me in like this all happened like in July. Late June, early July timeframe.
Yeah,
I was in New Mexico in August.
Mm.
So I was like, dang, dude. Like, after they told me, I'm like, oh, sweet. That's going to be super fun. And then I started thinking, like, I don't have a gun. I don't have anything. So I started kind of scrambling. I went to Fleet Farm, which is kind of like, you know, just a farm and fleet store. So I went to Fleet Farm and looked, I went to the, because it was during COVID, during the whole ammo shortage and stuff. So I went and looked at the ammo section. I'm like, well, 6.5 Creedmoor, that's what they got the most of.
Yeah, so the hated rifle caliber on the internet for some reason. And I'm not even that into guns, so I don't understand it.
Yeah, the 6.5 gets a lot of hate, but, you know, it's a gun, and antelope are small and thin-skinned. So, you know, you could have shot them with a 22-250 and been fine.
Probably. It's actually the only firearm I've ever killed a deer with.
The 6.5 Creed?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Well, no, only rifle. I've killed deer with muzzleloaders.
Yeah. Yeah.
But anyway.
So this is actually my first rifle, too. And the only thing I ever, only animal I ever killed was a rifle. And, so I went and I saw a bunch of ammo, and they still limited you to 2 boxes. So I grabbed 2 boxes, 6.5, and went to the gun section. And I'm not rich, you know, I'm budgeting here.
Yeah.
And I went and I pulled up because the Fleet Farm does like a price match. So I grabbed a Ruger American Predator 6.5 Creedmoor, and they wanted like, they're asking like, I think $600 for it. And I found one online for $500 and asked them price match. And that was a whole big ordeal. I had to get the manager involved and stuff. Anyways, I got it for $500.
And not bad. That,
yeah. And I didn't have an optic or anything. So I had to wait for it. I was talking to Troy and stuff, and I had no loophole to get mad if I bought a Vortex now. So I ended up getting a loophole because title sponsor and everything else. Right.
Yeah.
So,
and they're awesome.
They want to make them mad. And yeah, don't regret it at all. It's great. Awesome. Awesome glass. So, yep. Yeah. So I did that whole ordeal and sighted that thing in and got her ripping. And then off to New Mexico we went.
So awesome, man. Well, that's exciting. It's a cool thing to be a part of.
And it was stressful.
Can you talk about awesome. The details of the show? I mean, we're kind of so. Focused on this. It's out. The episode's out.
Yeah, the episode's out. So I figured might as well. Let's go into it. But yeah, so you want to just go into it now? Or
yeah, might as well.
Okay. Yeah, so got the gun, got it all sighted in, and oh yeah, let me back up real quick. So at home, you know, we had a little over a month, right around a month to get ready for this hunting. We're waiting for all our stuff to get in, and sent a big loophole sent an awesome package. Like sent us 12x50 binos, spotting scope, tripod, bino harness, the loophole shades. These things are awesome. Dude, by the way, you guys talk about them all the time. They're awesome.
We're giving some of them away at our bow shoot. We got a loophole package we're giving away. So
totally way better than Oakley's, I'll tell you that. Mm-hmm. Oakley's are garbage compared to these things.
Yeah.
But they sent an awesome care package deal and like a loophole pullover that I ended up killing my antelope in, actually, which was pretty sick. Yeah, all sorts of stuff. They sent an orange hat that I guess we were supposed to wear on the hunt, but I tried it on. It's a hat kind of like what you're wearing, except orange.
Oh yeah.
And I looked ridiculous in those hats. Like I looked terrible. So I left it at home.
The structured of it.
Yeah. Yeah. I have a big head, like a really big head.
Yeah.
And they barely fit. I have to have it on the last notch. I think it's all weird in the back, you know.
See, that's how mine is. My head's so big. And for some reason I look really red on camera right now, but it might be because my head's cutting off circulation. But I have a massive head. But I like it because it fits more comfortable because my head fits in it.
Man, it does not look right. I mean, like the billboard, the structured part looks way small, and then the netted part goes out and looks absolutely ridiculous on my very large head. Like a
football shaped head.
Yeah, your head looks nice in there.
My head looks ridiculous. Looks nice in there. Right. Thank you.
My head looks ridiculous. So I left that hat at home and got to New Mexico, and they're like, hey, yeah, we gotta wear something orange. I'm like, you got the loophole hat? I'm like, no, I look stupid in it, so I left it at home. And they're like, oh, here's an orange Onyx hat to wear. I'm like, dang it. So I wear that during the hunt because they wanted us to wear something orange, being a rifle and all. Being in New Mexico law, you didn't have to wear orange, being on the ranch that we were on. But, you know, for safety reasons, there's another team of hunters there who wanted to
just
have
in case.
Something orange to have on, right? It's always smart to do that. But, so loophole's in an awesome package. Got that all dialed in. Got as used as we could to using them. Then loaded up and headed down to New Mexico and drove all through the night drove all through the night, got there the next day, long drive. But yeah, me and Justin, we tore through it and got there. We were very super proud when we got there. So like when you watch the show, because I'm assuming everyone listening is going to watch the show, but when you watch the show, when you're doing the little interview, when we're sitting down and talking, I said some dumb things, I guess. I was so tired. Like we were running on maybe 2 to 3 hours of sleep.
Yeah.
Both of us throughout the night.
You're just delirious.
Yeah. It was ruthless. Like some of the things that they showed in there, I'm like, I don't even remember saying some of that stuff, but
really?
Yeah.
I have not watched the episode, but I like doing this and then I can watch it. So then I have like the director's cut a little bit.
Yeah. 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 It's cool. And, but yeah, we got down there and, they didn't expect us to be there that early either. Cause when we rolled in, they're all jumping around. I saw dudes running around everywhere, like grabbing camera equipment. I'm like, oh man, all right, this is it. Pulled in, stopped. There's a camera in your face, like talking. Like, I've never even met you guys before. This is kind of weird. Then they put the camera down. We started talking, got to know each other a little bit and made it less awkward being on camera. Yeah. Once you know the guy behind it, it's a lot easier to
for sure
be on camera. You know, it just feels like you're talking to him rather than talking to the camera.
For sure. But,
yeah, I got there and got all set up and everything else. And we got there a day early. So got there a day early, so we couldn't get out and do anything really because the next day was scouting day.
Mm-hmm.
So we just kind of hung out at the camp and talked to the guys and set our areas up. And
I guess we didn't touch on, like, you're hunting against another team.
Oh, yeah.
I guess why do we not mention that? But like,
I don't know.
So it's a competition hunt wars.
Yeah.
Yep. So is the other team there at this point when you get there?
No, not at this point. I kind of assumed they'd be there that day though, but they didn't actually get there until like midway through scouting day.
Oh really?
He had something go on with his house. His freaking basement flooded or something. So he had it threw him behind schedule. But So you're going to the whole concept of hunt wars is that you're hunting against another team.
Mm-hmm.
And some people, like, I've heard this, you know, since being on the show and stuff and in the comment section on social media and whatnot, like people are like, oh, hunting and competition, that's ridiculous. Like you shouldn't be hunting should never be a competition, yada yada yada. But it's not like reality TV, like Jersey Shore. We're not sitting there like getting weird and fighting each other. It's not like, yes, where it's a competition, but who doesn't have a competition like between friends when you're out there hunting? Like,
yeah,
I've never, my whole time growing up, me and Matt, my buddy Matt, that I mentioned previously, we'd always have a competition, whether we're duck hunting, goose hunting, like, oh, who got the most ducks, who got the most geese, or this, that, and the other. It's always a competition, but it's a healthy competition, and it brings the best out in you, you know, when you're competing.
Yeah.
And I'm just like a naturally competitive person, I guess, too. But when you're competing, it just brings the best out of you.
For sure.
So it makes you more prepared, helps everything. I don't know. It's cool. I think it's a really cool concept, and it's done right. It's not done poorly. Like the way they do it is on play, because there's going to be a hunting show that's a competition. It's going to be like they're doing it right. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Plus, you're trying to kill a bigger animal, a more mature animal anyway. Yeah. So it's actually it's better from a management mm-hmm. standpoint is concerned, or my guess a viewer standpoint. It's like, well, the idea is to kill a bigger animal. I'm sure there's more that goes into it, but
yeah,
that's better than just shooting something to shoot something.
Well, and that's the thing too. Like right now it's weird because there's so many people out there that are constantly just like I'm not hunting for antlers. I'm hunting for meat. You know, I was like, that's great. The meat is awesome. Like the whole antelope, Justin, I'm obviously not selfish. I guess. Yeah. We split the antelope. You know, I share with them. It's not much meat, but you know, we got to eat it. We ate the whole thing. We didn't just cut the head off and leave the body there. You know, we ate the whole thing. Everyone, I don't know a single hunter, whether they're hunting for inches or hunting for meat. Everyone eats the meat.
Yeah.
If you don't eat the meat, yeah, you're kind of an asshole if you don't eat the meat, but
I agree.
Huge one, actually, but everyone does. But the thing is, like, when you're hunting for, like, everyone wants it. I don't know. Kind of going off on a tangent out here.
No, I get what you're saying, though.
No, it's one of those things. Like, so many people out there that are just ridiculous. Mm-hmm. They're just ridiculous about it. And you know, everyone knows it. Everyone sees them. Everyone knows who I'm talking about.
Yeah.
And everyone kind of needs to relax a little
bit. I agree.
Enjoy their life. You know,
just
you
relax.
Hunt, you know, yeah.
Don't I like that. You just relax.
Yeah. Chill, dudes. Not that. It's not that bad. You know?
Yeah. You're right. You're 100% right, man.
Life ain't that bad.
But so let's talk about this hunt, man, because I know I love antelope hunting. And if people have never gone, a lot of people like antelope's not on people's radar. They don't think about it. It's not that of interest. It was, I just think the animal is beautiful. The meat is delicious. And the type of hunting is super, super fun. And I don't know if you ever even, I mean, that was number three on your list for Hunt Wars, but I don't know how much you thought about antelope hunting before this opportunity, but it's a blast. Just,
you know, honestly, like my list was that, like, I've gone elk hunting twice and didn't get one. So that's like number one on my list. Kind of, I really want to get an elk someday, and mule deer. Like, they're all on my list. Every animal that's huntable is on my list, but it's like one of those things. Yeah, it was up there, is top five, but wasn't, you know, is top three. Like, I really want to do this really cool deal. And you watch it on TV, and it's like, it's really cool. Like you said, the scenario, like the land that they roam is awesome, because it's just so flat and desolate, and you just think, like, how am I ever gonna get close to these things? They're gonna see me from, you know, miles away, which they do. They got ridiculous eyesight.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I don't know. It, after doing it, gave me a whole new appreciation on pronghorn hunting, because
I love everything about it.
Yeah.
I really do.
The tags are generally easy to come by in most states. They're a lot easier than elk and mule deer to get. Yeah. So it's super, I don't know, it's just really, a really cool hunt for sure. It's just so different. It's what's cool about it.
And the animals, unlike anything else, like in the Midwest.
Yeah. Unreal.
Like, I have people that see my little antelope mount I have, and I would say if you don't hunt, people think it's some sort of African animal.
Yeah, for sure. This is so different than
anything. Like, what is that? Deer. Like, speed goat.
Where'd you go to get that thing?
Yeah. Malaysia.
Yeah, right. Maybe.
What? All yeah, no, nothing. But I was just curious like how much you'd ever thought about it before going. Because like the whole process of the hunt is a blast.
Yeah. I thought about it, but I thought about it a lot more once I got drawn for that hunt, you know. After they drew me on that hunt, it's like, if I wasn't shooting my rifle and getting that dialed in, I was watching videos and trying to figure out, like, the best way to go about this.
Yeah.
And since I've never done it growing up in Iowa, you know, it's like, it's just totally different.
Mm-hmm.
But then going into, so going into scouting day, I guess, we hung out there and then going into scouting day. We woke up and went out and started scouting, and we were out all day driving around. I think we saw like 23 like nice bucks out there just running around. And that wasn't even probably half of them. Is crazy, but there's a lot of antelope out there. And we were driving around, like, towards the end, like, we started in the southern part of the ranch and worked our way to the north, and I don't know, like, we ended up in the northern part of it, and that's where we spotted like a really nice buck. And we're looking at him, and it's like, man, if he's out here tomorrow during hunt day, that's the one I want. Like, after seeing all these bucks, like, that's the one. And so we went back to camp, and by that time the other team was there, so we talked to them and got to know them a little bit and everything else.
Talk shit and all that, you know.
Yeah they weren't much of the shit talking. They're very, very nice guys. They definitely grew up differently than I did, that's for sure. Like,
yeah,
they had you'll see in the show, they had.
Yeah, but we don't want to give too much away, but give enough, you know.
Yeah, but they're super nice guys. Talk to them and everything else. It was funny because, like, so they're from Utah.
Mm-hmm.
The whole Hunt Wars team is from Utah, and Justin and I are sitting there like, we're from Iowa.
the outsiders.
Yeah. So, like, we're sitting there cracking jokes, and and like I said, super nice guys, but some of the way I talk, it might be a little bit off-putting to certain types of people, I guess.
Vulgar, a little blue collar.
I joined the Army when I was 17 and got out when I was 27. So it's like, spent a lot of time with a lot of rough folk, you know?
Yeah, right.
Growing up doing a blue collar job, then going to the army, then coming back. So yeah, some of the stuff we said was probably a little bit out there compared to the way they grew up.
There's an upcoming podcast, and is the first time I spit a drink out during an episode. Doug was this episode won't launch for a few weeks, but Doug is sitting there talking, telling a story, and then he goes at the end of it, he goes, "I've seen some shit," and I don't know why. And I just spit out my drink the way he said it, and that just reminded me, like, you could be like, "I've just seen some shit."
I don't know what to tell you, man. We grew up different, all right.
I like it. I know what you're saying, though. I know exactly, and yeah, I think everybody that is listening knows what you're saying. So how many days? I mean, you got to be kind of thinking, like, man, these guys see antelope daily, probably.
Yeah, that's kind of what we thought. And we're talking to him, and it's like the guy, the on the other team, the spotter, he was actually the one that drew. Like, his name was the one that got drawn for Hunt Wars, but he had a friend that was, you know, newer to hunting, and so he took him and let him be the shooter, because the spotter, he's like, I've shot plenty of antelope, he's never gotten one. So they switched spots, basically. Generally the way people have been doing it is like, whoever's name got drawn is the shooter, and the other guy's the spotter.
That makes sense. So, that's cool of them, though.
Yeah, it was really cool of them. And talking to the other team's shooter, I was like, "Yeah, so you're newer to hunting?" He's like, "Yeah, I've only been doing it for a few years." I'm like, "Oh yeah, what have you gotten?" Assuming Utah, probably mule deer, maybe an elk or something. He's like, "Yeah, I've gotten, you know, elk, mule deer, caribou, this and all this other stuff from like Alaska and stuff." I'm like, "Oh geez, all right." Like, I've shot whitetail, some squirrels,
maybe a turkey.
Yeah, turkeys. I shot some turkeys, and you know, I was just it felt a little bit weighed,
uneven. Yeah,
not in our favor. I'm like, gosh, this is gonna be fun.
Yeah,
but I know I can shoot, so that's the thing. Like, being in the army, shooting all the time, and being in a scout sniper platoon, I was not a sniper. They said I was like a Marine sniper. I was not in the Marine Corps. I was in the Army. I was not a sniper. I was in a reconnaissance platoon, and we had a section of snipers with us. So I spent a lot of time in the sniper range with them, but I was not a sniper.
Mm-hmm.
But
I like how you clarified that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause they popped that in the show. I'm like, dang it. People are going to think I'm like some trying to be something I'm not. I'm not. I know who I am, and I'm not a sniper. Never was a sniper. I was a infantryman in a reconnaissance platoon. So, but yeah. And so, but I know I can shoot. So that's one thing that I knew I had going for me, is I'm very confident, even with a newer rifle that I didn't grow up shooting my whole life or anything like that. I know I can shoot.
Yeah. You're confident in your ability.
Yeah. Yep. So going out there, I was totally expecting to take, you know, a 400 yard shot. I didn't want to shoot anything past 400. Plus, that's another thing, scoring metrics and Hunt Wars, it's the way they have it set up for the rifle hunt was 0 to 300 yards. There's a zero point deduction. 301 yards to 400 yards is a 10 point. 400, 500, 20 point, 500 plus is a 30 point deduction.
Mm-hmm.
So the show is set up. They want you to get close. They want you to get closer to the animals. For one, it makes good footage. And for two, it's more ethical, right?
Mm-hmm.
You don't want the other lobbing shots at 800 yards, no matter what you have for a rifle. No one wants to see that on any show. So the goal is to get close, you know, and that's one thing too. Like, getting into bow hunting, it really helped me, I guess, figure out like how to get close. Cause if you can get within bow range of animals, then getting within gun range is a lot easier, you know?
Yeah.
Getting within a couple hundred yards is a lot easier than getting within 50 yards, you know? So that, I don't know, my couple of years of bow hunting experience kind of helped me with that too, I guess. And
Big time.
Yeah. Yeah. So went in there and with the mindset of getting as close as I can to these things. And that's another thing too, is I really want to go out there and hunt antelope with a bow someday. So if I'm like, hey, this is a good way to kind of see how close I can get these things. And it's tough, you know, it's tough to get close to them, but man, it's, once you do, it's pretty awesome.
So how close did you end up getting to yours? Like, what's the, I guess, you know, I don't want you to give too much of it away, but don't say who won or lost.
Yeah, I won't say who won or lost. You have to watch. But they said it from the get go. Both teams tagged out. We both got an antelope. So I guess going into, let's dial back a little bit, scouting day, saw that buck up north I really wanted. And then kind of going back to camp, I, you know, talking to the rancher that runs the ranch, talking to him and stuff like that. And he did tell me, say, oh, you want the, you're going after the buck up north, huh? I'm like, that's the one I want. He's pretty big. He's like, he's been pushed hard because they had archery hunters in there before we got there. Like the week before we got there, they had archery hunters in there. Mm-hmm. He's like, he's a tough one to get. They pushed him pretty hard with the archery guys that were down here. I'm like, oh man, okay. He's like, last I knew he was on the property, but it sounds like he came back. Like, okay.
Oh, cool. Man.
Well, must be a pretty good buck then if they're already being chased after him. So then going into hunt day, we woke up, took off. Well, we got to the, because Justin, he brought his Ranger, and thank God he did, because it, like, the ground is so vast, you know, having a Ranger was a huge, was a pretty big deal. And the other team had a Ranger too. So we're both tooling around our Rangers and stuff, but we got to our
Ranger from Iowa all the way down there.
Yeah.
Dang. I mean, glad you did then.
Yeah, no kidding. So that's what we're thinking too. We're like, is this even worth bringing? Cause we can probably just drive around the truck and stuff, but man, there's so many washouts and stuff in New Mexico, and the bushes there, the mesquite bushes or whatever. Yeah. I don't know. Hickory, but whatever they are.
Yeah.
Mesquite bushes.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. They're all over the place and they're sharp. And I know this from being in the Army, being stationed in El Paso. I've seen them pop Humvee tires.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're no joke. We're out messing around the Ranger. Hyundai, we got to the Ranger, saw the tires were flat. Like, dang it. So we drove it to the house and asked the Ranger, like, hey, do you have an air compressor we can pump these up? And so, yeah, I can help you out. So he actually has this goop because he lives there. So he does this all the time. He's like, you got this goop they pumped in the tires that plugs holes. So he pumped our tires full of goop, then filled us back up and got us on our way. We just went straight up north and got back on that buck that we saw from scouting day.
And
yeah. Yeah. Got there. We're like probably 2 miles away from him. We saw, like, kind of got, cause going up north on that ranch is up with this big hill, and right when we got that big hill, we stopped, started glassing. It was right at first light, started glassing and saw a couple of does up, like just waking up, getting out and starting to meander around a little bit. We're spotting. I spotted a couple horns sticking up that was still bedded down. Like, oh, there he is. So we watched him. We had to have been two plus miles away, you know, and seeing him. And that's another thing. Like, those loophole optics were freaking awesome.
Yeah. Out there, you need them. You have to have good glass.
You have to have good glass out there in that flat terrain. They can see so well. And so we had a 60 power spying scope watching him. Then he gets up from his bed, and right when he gets up from his bed, he's like looking in our direction. And we were moving, we were stopped before you knew we were there. We're stopped. He's got up out of his bed and was looking at us, like, ah, there's no way he's like looking at us, right? He's just looking around. Nope. Watch him for, I don't know, maybe 10-15 minutes trying to figure out a game plan to how to close the distance. And then they just took off. Left. Just press took off hard. Running. Yep. Yep. they didn't start out like kind of bouncing around. They just were like, screw this, and just took off full speed ahead and headed east. And we were talking, and I said this, I'm like, we got to get going, guys. Like, this is our chance. Like, we don't want to screw this up. And they took off running. I got pissed. I'm like, God, there's that. Screwed him up. You know, he's already been pressured.
Yeah.
Screwed him up good. But now I don't. Then we got up on, because even though it's so flat, there's so much. It was a wet year there, so there's a lot of pretty tall grass.
Yeah.
We lost them, and we had to get higher. So we found this little house deal and got up on the wall of this house where there's glass around, couldn't see anything. And I knew they headed east, so we decided that we're going to just drive east, just start going. And when you watch the episode, it'll show us on that wall, kind of glass around, and then it'll just kind of cut into me like laying the prone and then showing the stuff in the middle. Mm-hmm. But we're driving east and we're heading out and we're looking around. We passed over a cattle guard, and pretty much right after we got to this next pasture, we passed around this little drainage there and around this big, ass mesquite bush. There's, I don't know, 30 antelope, and he's the man of the herd out there.
The same one.
The same one. Yep. And we drove over there and they're 30 yards off the road. I'm like, oh my God. So he's kind of started slowing down. They took off running. We're like, gee, okay. We kind of just kept driving. They ran out in front of us and cut the road. So they didn't go further north, which would push them off the property. They actually went down south. So they start going deeper into the property. So like, cool, we can get back on them. And I knew on the other side, there was a big ass cliff that just kind of dropped off. So I'm like, I know they're not just going to jump to their deaths over there. They're going to either
wild card.
Yeah. Right. Watch this.
It's like, no.
Yeah. So after we saw them cut back south, I knew that was there, that would stop them. But we didn't know if they're going to turn, go cut back east, or if they're going to go back west where we came from. So after they cut across, we just slammed the brakes. I jumped out and laid down. The cameraman jumped out and he laid down. And I told Justin, I'm like, dude, just go down the next road and stop and glass and just, you know, be there, I guess. And we'll see if we can get eyes on them. And then that's when the show picks back up and we're laying down in the grass on our bellies trying to see what's going on. We can't see anything down there, but
yeah.
So that guy start peeking up, glass and like peeking up, can't see anything. And then look out on X and trying to figure out, like, I knew there's a drainage right there. And I was thinking, like, well, I'm gonna hit that drainage because that's the only topography we have to work with.
Yeah.
Like, I'll jump in that drainage and just cut it. Just cut down there and see where they're at, you know? And so we started kind of, I don't know what you call it, I guess. In the Army, we call it like duck walking. So you're crouching down, walking. Yep. And we're going towards this drainage. Then the antelope started popping up. Like, oh, crap. And we're in the wide open. Mm-hmm. And the antelope started filtering out of that drainage that we were going to go down.
Oh, they're in it.
Yeah, they were running up. So they must have headed down, hit that cliff, and then cut west because they saw the ranger. And they're all watching the ranger, and they saw him. So they're like, well, we're not going to go that way. So there's only one way to go. And that was basically to us. And it just so happened, like, picked the right route and got on it. And we were already heading to that drainage. They started popping up out of that little drainage there. And when they did, we're in the wide open. I'm like, well, we got to go to this bush right here and just wait. Mm-hmm. Got to that bush. And then, you know, it was doe, doe, doe. And then he popped up. And it's like, holy crap. He's within 100 yards already right there. Like, geez. So we're scuffling around. I'm trying to get set and stuff. I didn't bring my tripod. I was going to shoot off the tripod for, you know, because I didn't have any shooting sticks. I didn't have a bipod on my gun or nothing like that. Yeah. So I was going to shoot off of the spotting scope tripod. Mm-hmm. Left ranger. Didn't have anything. So we jump out. We're sitting behind this bush and he pops out and I range him. He's at like 90 something yards. I think it's like 98 yards. I'm like, okay. Yeah. So I'm like kind of shuffling around, getting ready to take a shot. And then as we're moving around, he must have seen some commotion behind this bush. And antelope, they're very curious. Like, you've seen it, I'm sure, when you're out hunting them.
Yeah.
They're super curious animals. And he saw some movement back there, but he couldn't tell what it was. So he started walking to us.
Like, yeah, kind of checking things out. Yeah.
Yeah. Seeing what's going on. Like, what the hell's going on over here? So, and we weren't being crazy. We weren't like throwing shit around everywhere, but we were moving around trying to get my gun up to get ready. I was laying down prone, couldn't see anything through the grass. So I got back up. It was, you know, I'm kneeling and I just grabbed a branch and put my rest of my rifle on it. Like, this is what I'm shooting off of, I guess. So yeah. I was off this really flimsy little branch, but I kind of used it as a brace and held it up pretty nicely. And he just kept coming closer and I had my gun. I kept ranging, getting closer, and he stopped at 77 yards. So he's at 70
wheelhouse, man. You're like bow range for antelope wheelhouse right there.
Yep. And I actually said that because on the show and after the whole hunt happened, they were talking about the archery guys are there. And the archery guy shot his antelope at 78 yards.
Yeah.
Like, oh, cool. So the rifle hunter got the closest shot.
Yeah, that's how it works, man. I mean, antelope's a long game, really, if with the bow, especially. So
yeah, yep, it is. That's the thing. It's hard to get close to them, but you know, there's, I don't know, when you use whatever, you make the right call in the right moments, and then you can make
sometimes it just meant to happen. You know what I mean? Like they came out of that drainage at the right time, and you're able to be in there and be ready for them. So
I was dialed in on them, and he stopped. He is quartering two pretty hard. But, you know, I'm shooting a rifle, so it's like, okay, I can definitely shoot through some bone if I have to, you know.
Yeah.
But he bore into you pretty hard. But I had my gun 0 to 200 yards, so I was on his chest, and I was like, crap, I'm 0 to 200. I don't want to, like, hit him in the face, and I don't want to miss. So I just dropped her down. I aimed right at the bottom of his chest and squeezed one off and dropped him.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Well, that's awesome. Exciting, man. So, killed you. That's your first antelope ever. They're really cool animals, aren't they?
Yeah. Oh, they're awesome.
I love them. The first one I shot was smaller, and I shot it with a bow at 50 yards, and I'm like, I'm in love with them. Like, I would go every year if I had the time.
Yep. Yeah, me too, for sure. And I know, like, with my daughter, that's probably going to be one of her first hunts, probably.
Well, you see a lot of animals. It's not freezing cold.
Yep.
And if she can shoot a rifle, she's gonna have a good time.
That's the thing. I got 6.5 Creedmoor, so it's like that thing is a pooch, which is funny because I end up in that show, I scope myself and start bleeding, and I look ridiculous. But
sniper scopes himself with a 6.5 Creedmoor.
Yeah, super professional. It's awesome.
That's hilarious. How big of an animal was? How big a goat?
He ended up measuring at 64 inches, I think. Yeah.
I don't even know what that means. I don't know either. I asked, but
he looked really cool.
Yeah. That's,
yeah.
I mean, a good antelope's a good antelope to me. That's all I want, you know. Got my first one out of the way, so I want to get one like that.
Yep. Yeah. The only thing I know about it, like judging, like field judging antelope, is if they look thick, like if they look like they have good mass, because when you're measuring them, they get their score from mass mostly. Cause you have like, I think 4 mass measurements on each horn.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's where you get most of your scores from, the mass. And he looked nice and thick. And you can also tell, cause like obviously next is length, and their prongs, if their prongs are like right about as tall as their ears, then they're pretty tall.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't know. Yeah, just that's the only way I know how to judge them, is like height, judging by the prongs and ears. And then if they look thick, then shoot them.
So, it worked out for you, didn't it?
Yeah, it worked out real well.
Well, cool, man. Yeah. I'm glad you got one. It was really cool. All the photos they put out, you're rocking a working class bow hunter hat. So makes us even happier. Is it the same one?
Same one, yeah. Yeah, this is my everyday hat.
I like it. Lucky hat.
Yep.
Well, thanks for sharing that story with us, man. I'm glad you're able to like have that whole experience. When you went back to camp, were people like, had the other team killed one by then?
No, nope. So got back to camp, and so they have a rule in Hunt Wars. It's called like declaration of kill. So when the other team kills, then they let the other teams know like, hey, this team killed, so they're done. They don't tell them. Don't tell them how big it was or anything.
Oh, they can't even see your goat or anything.
No, nope. So, basically, they put that out there. So, like, hey, we killed. So, stay away from us. Like, let us get back to where we're at. Do the butchering and stuff. Just stay away from us until we can get it hidden. Basically, so we going back to a barn, hung them up, and butchered them, and then bagged them up and put them in a chest cooler, and I'm sitting in there. And then the other got back to like the camp part of camp, and the other team rolled in around lunchtime and talked to them a little bit, and didn't get, obviously not going to give them any information, you know. But yeah, killed a pretty nice one, I think. I don't know shit, 'cause I'm from Iowa, but yeah.
Right, that's awesome, man. Well, people have to go watch that episode. we've talked about it, but not in like this detail. But man, it's just cool to see that you got one, and what a cool way for $100.
Yep.
You know, plus a rifle. But
yeah,
that, I mean, like you said, that's a, now that you have that, now that like rifle's kind of sentimental a little bit.
Yeah. And
your daughter can use it, and that's perfect.
Yeah, exactly. So it was a good purchase, and it's one of those things, you know, it's like, I love guns. I think they're awesome. They're super fun to shoot and everything else, and everyone needs a good excuse to buy another one. So that was kind of another cool thing. I'm like, hey, honey, sorry, but I gotta buy another gun. Whoopsies.
Yeah.
You
know? Whoopsies.
But
yeah, once you can't tell you not to at that point, so.
Yeah, right. Like, I'm already on the hunt, and I can't go out there and shoot them with my fingers, so.
Hey, and another exciting thing we need to talk, I don't want to forget, you're going to Africa with us.
Yeah.
So that's going to be another crazy experiences and stories. So if people don't like you from this podcast, then they're really not going to like the episodes that are coming out of African camp.
Right. once whenever that pops out, they're really going to see how I talk, I guess. I already let a couple bombs drop on accident, but
no, it's okay. Those ones are going to be crazy. And I want to do some before, during, and after camp episodes, you know? So
yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
So super stoked for that. That's gonna be amazing. I'm so stoked for that. And that's the thing too, is like talking to people about hunting in Africa, they're like, oh, what are you, like a trophy hunter now? And it's like, well, I feel like that name maybe got tarnished a little bit, but every hunter is a trophy hunter, no matter what size of animal it is.
I agree. Like
every animal's a trophy. So yeah, I am a bit of a trophy hunter. What up?
What's it to you?
What's it to you, dude? I'm going to that freaking Africa. It's gonna be great.
I'm excited to do some like breakdowns of camp and costs and stuff, so people can see like what all that takes and animals really and stuff like that. It's not
as expensive as you'd think.
It's cheaper than an elk hunt.
It's way cheaper than an elk hunt, dude. Way cheaper than if you're gonna go on a guided elk. Plus, it's all inclusive and stuff. All you can drink at the bars and come on.
Yeah, and food.
Let's go. I'm so excited.
Well, more coming from there. Dude, thanks for jumping on here today on your lunch break. I'll let you get back to work. I know we kind of told that story kind of quick, but you know, I don't want to give all the details away. The people at Hunt Wars are good people. So I want that people want to go watch that episode. And they'll get to see you looking good with a working class bow hunter hat on that episode.
Yeah, working class bow hunter with a rifle.
Hey, you're out there, man.
Cool,
man.
Cool. And those guys are great. And the Hunt Wars guys, they're amazing dudes. They're just good people, you know, and they're putting on a good show. And, you know, I'd like to see it get as big as it can, because I think it's a super awesome opportunity for your everyday average hunter to go in there and have a chance of killing something that, you know, having the hunt of a lifetime for very cheap, $100
put in. That's insane. That's it.
Everything else is given to you, unless you get them put on a rifle and you don't have a rifle, and then you got to buy one. But
hey, still, but like you said, good excuse to buy a rifle.
That's right.
Well, cool, man. Well, where can people find you?
At home.
At my job.
You know, if you find yourself in Northern Iowa, hit me up. No. I have a lot of my social media kind of locked down, I guess, because I don't know. I like to have real people around me, not a bunch of bots. So I like to sift through them.
Yeah.
So you'll see me out there somewhere.
Elon Musk is getting rid of bots on Twitter, so you can get a Twitter going.
Yeah, probably gonna get on Twitter again someday now that Elon owns it. It's gonna be great. But yeah, no, you can see me in the working class bow hunter group. I'm on there quite a bit, kind of tooling through and commenting on stuff. So yeah. Cool, man.
Awesome. Well, I appreciate you. Thanks for telling the story.
Yep. Thanks for having me on, man. I really appreciate it. This is a lot of fun.
Yeah, this was like the Jacob Johnson teaser episode to the many working class bow hunter ones that will probably be coming out of this upcoming trip late this summer. So if you enjoyed this story and what we could tap into, check out his Hunt Wars episode. There'll be a lot more, I guess, blue collar military style talk coming out of Jacob here on the Working Class Bow Hunter platform. So I guess we'll close her down there, man. Thanks everyone for watching, listening to Jacob's story. And thank you for your service, buddy, and congratulations on the hunt.
Thanks, man. I really appreciate it.
All right. I'll be talking to you soon. We're going hunting.
Yeah, let's go. I'm ready.
All right, dude. We'll talk to you.
All right. See you, dude.